Look at your neighbor, say the devil is a liar. It's one of them songs you're gonna ride down the street in the summer. You're gonna open the sunroof and roll your windows down so you can raise up this song. I want you to go home singing it tonight. Listen. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has for me.
What the Lord has for me.
Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free. The devil is a lie. Say,
the devil is a lie.
Y'all say, what the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has.
With Pastor E here live on the Now Network. We thank God today for another opportunity to keep it real and to really just be transparent as we join each other weekly for real talk discussions. And we've dedicated we're in week four, but for 48 more weeks to continue on the subject of violence and violence in any manner, any form. But particularly in this first season, we're noticing about domestic violence and how it's affecting from the smallest to the oldest, and from like-minded people that didn't think they had the same things in common, the same things could happen. We've seen so many acknowledgement violence from the gang related aspect. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And then also how violence and intimidation can cause you to give your life up to something that is really not of God, that will come to destroy you. We're going to touch a lot of different areas, but the main thing we want you to know, family, is that we are fully devoted to Jesus. We are here to share and to introduce anyone to know that we believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And yes, with open arms, not with condemnation, not with we're still in self-examination weekend in this network, but we aren't trying to look at what you're doing, what you have done. We're just trying to introduce you to the door that's always open when you want to know the truth. Yes, the truth hurts, but it will set you free. And yes, with those open arms, everyone connected in this ministry and covenant throughout the nation and throughout the world demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will. Yes, we're making a declaration. We will reach the lost and the unsaved by our acts of transparency. But yes, this epidemic, they have so many different names coming up now, epidemics and domestic violence could be looked at in so many different ways, from a child's perspective to a victim's perspective, from a actual abuser's perspective. And I believe that as we start to really see that it all roots down to the mindsets and the principles that have been sown into abusers. And abusers can be all forms. But in our introduction, remember we talked about that women, you may think that are maybe just afraid of strangers, but most of the time it's a husband, it's a lover, boyfriend, somebody real close, a cousin. We saw the statistics there. And, the question comes up, is there a profile for men who batter, men or women who batter their partners? And most experts say no. We ask the questions, well, why don't women leave abusive relationships? It's not easy. We say, why don't men leave relationships that they're supposedly so unhappy with? You listen to men who are starting to speak out who abuse their wives. It's you see how that's, they think it's natural because of some seed that was planted. As we said, the what is the cycle? The cycle of abuse occurs in some families, but in most people's lives, that someone you knew, someone you've been in touch with, has been abused. And did we say something? That was the question we asked last week, and that we presented to each and every one of us, is that we must say something. Then we asked the question, how does domestic violence affect children? We've seen that we've had guests come on and share that, anger and these, because of what people see, and especially children. We have to be so particular with our children and the children we're involved with, and the children we're trying to reach, and the children we're trying to build up, is that first of all, they have to learn how to love and love truly. And most people's definition of love is not the love of God. And then we've even touched on the basis to say, can men be victims of domestic violence? And according to the United States government, this is the Department of Justice, it says 90% of victims of domestic violence are women, but there are 5% of men that report. Then there's other statistics that say there's another 20% that don't ever say anything because of, I'm a man, and how can I let somebody know this is going on to me? But a lot of us don't even see that. Even growing up, I know those numbers are way off because I've seen it over the years of the same types of abuses and the same types of attitudes. We talked about something last week before we get ready to bring in, and I'm right when I'm going to hit this, I'm gonna bring in my co-host, Minister B, Carolyn Clark Hamilton, to the room. But we talked about gangs, domestic violence, and the connection and the intersection with gang culture and domestic violence culture. And we really don't look at this because most people look at, and I want to, this is a new form that I've learned, and I've heard it before, but I'll be honest with you, as educated and as much as I study, I did not put the two together. Oh my God, I felt so bad. But now, what we used to know as the street life and prostitution is now described as human trafficking, which it is, you know, and in that study, you know, and in that lifestyle, that abuse in that arena has went on forever. That's how it's controlled and through domestic violence, because it may have one abuser may have 5 or 10 or however many victims, but it was still maintained through those principles of abuse. And we see that gangs have always used human trafficking and for those that didn't know, prostitution as a very high profitable means to their crime. Even in today's culture, is widespread that human trafficking, prostitution is very, very, very exclusively connected to the activities that gangs and gang members do. Now, watch this. The women gang members become the ones that become abused and now are used in this matter of human trafficking. And we're talking about it today, and I'm only bringing this up, but we're going to talk deeper about it. This is something I've done a little study on, and this is we haven't labeled this broadcast for that, but I just wanted to bring it out before I bring in Minister B, is because this is something we've known about, and some of us have been a part of that says, and I'm talking to some brothers out there that go way back and say, "Oh, I used to," you know. We don't look at that as being a part of abuse, and we have to be more, you know, we say, why would we want to help somebody out of that lifestyle? That's just a lifestyle. No, it's a very abusive lifestyle. But wow, just for someone who's from the streets to sit back and say, wow, oh my God, I am an abuser, or I was an abuser. When you say, no, I don't beat no woman unless she deserved it. I let that marinate. That's why I gave it a couple pause there, just to be aware. And I've been really in repentance. Lord, forgive me, because you are in a street mentality, and it's so easily to say that's how I was living. No, we have to be much more aware. So good morning, Where she's at? There she is. Good morning, Minister B, co-host to Real Talk with Pastor E. Our topic is still domestic violence right next door. And I know we're going to be really exploring it from the parent, as we've already brought in with our brother Wyatt last week and the previous weeks, of the parents' reaction and the situation. I know you have a guest coming on tonight, but just that thing, when I just said a little, that part of me, and you can kind of hit on that, of being in that life and not identifying something we were a part of or seen happen, and now look at it and saying, wow, that was domestic violence. Do you have anything on that?
Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, family. That is so true, and I was just sitting here smiling and, like, shaking my head when you were talking that, you know, people are just now seeing human sex trafficking. And yeah. I, back in the days, I mean, some guys had girlfriends and they would beat them, or if they had their little dope sacks or whatever and they lost the money, they would send the girl out to either go try to sell herself to someone so they could break in and rob, or I mean, that was domestic violence. They were using them to benefit themselves. That was human sex trafficking. I mean, we could go on and on about that, but people didn't see it as that, you know, back then, or the young ladies looked at it as helping their men out, or, you know, but now I look at it and I shake my head and, yes, it is most definitely still going on.
Well, you know,
so,
hey, check this out. Oh, as you said that, watch this. You're going to start some stuff today. How many women out there went hard for their man to help him come up? And then
right.
when he got and went through the abuse and everything else to do it, and then once he came up, he then moved on to something that didn't
yeah.
go so hard, you know, because I don't care what nobody says. A man can say to his woman, it's okay if you do that for right now. I'm going to still love you and respect you and honor you as the number one. No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they won't. They will look at you the same way they look at that girl out there doing the same thing you say you're doing for him. They only doing it for themselves to benefit them own selves. And even though they love you, they will never respect you the same way when you degrade yourself
right.
to say, even though you're doing it for them and you think you're doing it for them, you're really destroying any respect you'll ever have from that man. And I know that for a fact. So, yeah. Hello?
I'm still here. I'm still here. I was
okay,
just
okay.
looking.
What was the last four numbers for our guests? I'm looking for my going in my text messages here. Let me find you. I sent so many text messages, Minister B, that there you go.
It would be 4014.
Okay, I don't see him on there right now, but I know area code 804, last 43854. Is that Brother Wyatt? Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Area code 804, last 43854. Is that my Brother Wyatt?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Pastor and Miss Minister B?
Blessed and highly favored.
We blessed, man.
Yeah, that's right. Blessed to see you another day.
No. Well, we lost you last week, and I wanted to give you a chance to come in. I know I've said a few things that may have sparked some stuff in you, too, because I know you are a victim of a victim. And that's what God was really saying to me. We really need to look at that, at the victims of the victim. We'll continue praying for the children and all affected. But mostly, we want to continue to gird you up. You know, God is just showing me that you have such a new journey to take. In so many different areas, and I cannot continue or stop to continue to tell you that we support you and are standing behind you.
I appreciate that, Pastor. I appreciate that. Like I said, each day is a struggle for me, and as I look at my grandkids and see what they go through, I know it's a struggle for them, but at the same time, I have to be strong. Even though I'm weak sometimes for myself, I got to remain strong for them. And my family. And then within that give me strength. I mean, and then believing in God. So all that comes hand in hand, and it just makes me more and more focused on doing what I got to do as far as keeping my daughter, my grandson alive in spirit. You know what I mean? With this march. And speaking of that, we're going to be marching February the 25th at 3:00 from my daughter's mother's home to John Marshall Court building and everything, because that's where justice should be served at. And I look for a lot of people to come and support, I mean, different organizations that I have talked to, such as you all, and they are behind me 100%, and that pushes me to want to do it even much more. And I'm anticipating, I'm excited about it, because their life was cut short, but at the same time, it was difficult for me to do at first, but I see now this can be a big, big step to saving other men and female lives. And so
yes.
I'm very eager to do this in their honor.
And that's February 25th, Sunday, February 25th. And what's the times again?
3:00. You march from her house at 3:00 into John Marshall Court building.
All right, that's 1 p.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah.
I would love if we could get you to you can mute your phone, but just kind of when you're when you guys are doing any kind of sharing about what's going on and put it on speaker that if anybody's speaking, man, I'd love to get our radio on that and broadcast that. So we'll talk offline. I'll give you a call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will. You know, and I've just been going through. I have talked to a whole lot of different organizations. Like I spoke with a young lady on a radio station here. I forgot Community Clover. I spoke to her and went to her Martin Luther King thing, and a whole lot of people was there. And we talked about different stuff, domestic violence and stuff. I'm just eager. I talked to a whole lot of men now, because a whole lot of people reach out to me and stuff, and I'm getting that logo and everything patented so everything can be organized and the trust funds and everything. It's some work, but it's some work well worth doing. So.
Amen, amen, man. Like I said, we back you up and continue to lift all those areas up. Minister, Mr. B, you got anything?
No, sir. I believe it's 4014 on.
Ma'am?
Oh. No. She was asking me if we're looking for another caller that's going to be coming in. But no, he's not. He's not on there yet.
Okay.
All right, brother. We got you, man. Anything else you want to let our listeners know, man? Come on. You know, I know you got a message. And every broadcast you come on here, we want to give you an opportunity to shout. And if it's something in the passion and however God puts it through you that you want to get out there, that's why we're here, is that we can really speak and be heard. And someone can say, wow, I heard the sound of freedom. I heard the sound of passion. I heard the sound of hurt. You know, but I also heard the sound of victory. We always want to give you that opportunity.
I appreciate it. My message is just to everybody, just like I said, be aware, don't be a victim. And to all the dads and the brothers out there, we have to stand up, and I can't stress that enough. We have to stand up and protect our mothers, our daughters, our nieces, and so forth and so on. I mean, because firsthand, I mean, I still got children, but I feel guilty sometimes because I felt like I wasn't there when my grandson and my daughter really, really needed me. You know what I mean? I know it's not my fault, but you know what I mean? As a father, to protect them, I feel guilty, and that weighs on my heart sometimes. So I'm just encouraging men, you know what I mean, if you got any kind of sense that something going on with your family member, I urge you just to not talk about it, do something about it. Remove them away from that situation. I mean, regardless of what they tell you what to do, remove them. You know what I mean? Call your brothers, call your uncles, everybody. Go over there and get your sister. Go over there and get your mama. Go over there and get your niece. You know what I mean? But protect your family at all costs. That's my message.
Praise the Lord. Pastor E, I have Ronald Chapman on my other line. He's now on. Ronald
okay.
was okay. So
okay, well,
he can hear you now.
Let Brother Wyatt complete, and then we'll bring him in at that point. And thank you so much for getting him on there. Your due diligence to make them three-way calls, girl, you be on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's man. You know that what you were saying, my brother, is like, you know, I have so much passion in that area because I could see how fault could drop, but we just continue to rebuke that spirit of fear, and that's what really it is. Judgmental spirits is about fear, and we just thank God He's going to continue to strengthen you because of everything that God has put before you. And you know, I know you said something that we, and I'm going to say this before I let you go and bring in our next guest, is that we got to protect our young men, too, that they don't become abusers and they don't become locked up in jail for life. And we got to look at every way that we can really go back and stop everybody. When we see it, stop. That's not the way you treat women. A simple word sometime from someone, and I'm talking to I hope a couple of my I asked some of the OGs to listen today that are still out in the hood to listen today, because We are the ones, they are the ones that could say one word and get a reaction out of someone. Then a new person starting an organization and going out with a sign and saying, stop violence, don't hit girls. They don't look at you like you. But talking to the people to go back into your own neighborhoods, and even though you're not where you used to be, we got to go back and get our brothers too. And stop right. The young men from going into these type of abusive things. And even if they have experienced it, that we can step in with love and show them that's not the way to go. So, man, God bless you, Brother Wyatt, man. Hold on. Don't hang up. We want to continue. I'll bring you back on. But I know this young man here has another event to do, and we want to give him an opportunity. So hold on. God bless it for that segment there. Go ahead, Minister Carolyn.
Praise the Lord. Good morning again, and it's an honor to have both Mr. Wyatt and Ronald on the phone at the same time. I'll let Ronald tell his story, but Ronald was a gang member at the time that his daughter was murdered. So I'll let him tell his story, but it kind of bounces off of everything that we have. I will add to that he is now a gang intervention specialist. He works for the grid. So you can see that he didn't take the wrong route when this happened to him. He stood as a father. He is still standing as a grandfather. And I'll let Ronald tell his story. So, Ronald.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ronald. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. God bless you for being willing to share this morning, man. I just thank God for you and everything that you're doing. And go ahead, man. Share with you. Would love our listeners to hear this morning.
Well, there's something interesting, man, is that myself personally, man, I went through that type of situation. The domestic violence was in my daughter. I lost my daughter due to domestic violence. She was shot and killed March 2nd, 2010 by her boyfriend. And it was weird because at the point in time, there were no signs. You know what I mean? Or maybe I didn't know how to look for signs. But the thing about it was so devastating that one thing that I learned from that lesson is that when a person is victimized by domestic violence in that manner, that's not the only victim. The family becomes a victim also, because the family has to deal with the trauma of losing that person. And the family has to maintain and deal with whatever, like my daughter had a daughter, so I had to take care of her daughter. You know what I mean? I take care of her daughter now. You know, and at that point in time, I had things said to me by people like, I don't see how you didn't go crazy, how you didn't do this, how you didn't do that. And I had to explain to people, I said, I was left with a whole lot of responsibility because of the fact that I had to maintain the life that my daughter wanted me to maintain and do the things that my daughter wanted me to do or what she would have did for her daughter. So that became a situation of where I was passed down a lot of responsibilities on behalf of the love that I have for my daughter. But at the same time, I also found myself in another situation where I have a younger daughter. And my younger daughter was enduring a situation where she was going through this type of thing. And I was I didn't know how to handle the process at that point in time. At that point in time, I encountered the boyfriend face-to-face one day, and we was having a conversation because they had a baby. And I was sitting, we was in the court, because it was some stuff that went on with the kid, and the kid ended up in the system. And I'm talking now face-to-face with the baby daddy, my younger daughter's baby's father. And he's in what we say abuser also. When I'm looking at him, and he looks at me and apologizes. And he says, man, he said one of the most important things that I've ever heard regarding this type of issue. He said to me, he said, man, I'm sorry for this, man. He said, I'm sorry for the way I treated your daughter. And the most important thing he said to me was, nobody ever taught me to be a man. No one ever taught me how to treat a woman.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about that was that moment it struck me, because in my mind I thought this was natural. You know what I mean? But I reflect on my life. I was raised by a man. So being that I was raised by a man, that means that I was raised by somebody who actually demonstrated how I treated a woman. My father talked to me about women, how women are to be treated. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm talking to a young man that comes from a broken home, all kind of other discrepancies raised in the system, drug addicted mother or stuff like this here. So when we're having our conversation, I'm looking at him and I'm kind of shocked now because in my mind, I don't understand this at the moment, but then because I thought that that was like a human right. I thought this right to treat a human being decently was the same as being a human right. But then, so what I'm personally, myself, today, I am, I'm a gang intervention specialist. I'm a community intervention worker. I work for the GRID, Mayor's Office of Gang Reduction and Youth Development here in Los Angeles. But at the same time, I'm also certified by the Genesee Center and by the state of California as a domestic violence counselor. Because something I learned about that was that that is a problem. The problem is that we ourselves as men have to take the time sometimes to take these young men and teach them how to be men because they don't know. They listen to this music and listen to the misogyny and listen to how they think a woman is supposed to be treated because all they do is in the music is talk about abusing women. So if we ourselves as men sometimes don't take the time out to share with young men, maybe even just how to have healthy relationships, how to have understanding, how to own your portion of a disagreement before the escalation of the conversation blows up and becomes violent. These are things sometimes as men that we got to share because of the fact that we don't know who the next abuser is. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we might be able to stop the next case of abuse by simply giving that level of education and understanding to a young man and giving him some understanding of the fact that this is what you should do. Because I'm encountering a lot of that. And it's funny now because I do have to ask young men now, did you have a father in your life? You know, what did he teach you about women? You know, not the slick stuff, not the birds and the bees stuff, but what did he teach you about wholesome, healthy relationships?
Right.
And that's very important because we're lacking a lot of that there. We get so far away that we think that there's an autopilot mechanism that we come with that we should know how to do these things.
No, we don't.
And it's so funny.
No, we don't. Huh? I mean, I know people think we're supposed to automatically know that, but we don't. And I was just, you know, I'm going to share something else because I was just having a conversation this morning at the barbershop with a young lady who was going through some emotional things and saying she this way one minute and this way. And I said, you know, what I know now about a woman, even when she has a baby, in that transformation, my dad never knew this because he never knew it. But, it, I don't know if anybody got kids out there, but when the woman start going through them phases, we all be like, man, why you tripping? You just having a baby. And just to know about a woman and know how to treat a woman and know what a woman goes through could really be educational for young men. Because most of us, I know for myself, was having kids because it felt good, not because I was looking at responsibility, but not to have that teaching. And then even when you get in a relationship, to know what it's going to take to grow that relationship and to be a partner of a relationship, our young people don't know. And it's not natural. I'm glad you brought that up. We must do better.
Right.
You guys need to come on Man Up on Tuesday nights. And let's get that conversation going on how we can start to really partner throughout our cities and throughout our whole nation on how we can get that out there and be effective. I want to. I know you have something going on. I'm looking at the clock. I want to be very respectful for your time. So I want to bring in Brother Wyatt because Brother Wyatt is freshly experiencing what you experienced in 2010. His daughter was just victimized and his grandson at the same time. I know you've been there and you've grown in that area. Brother Wyatt is now starting March, February 25th in West Virginia. I keep forgetting the exact state, but on the eastern coast of our thing. I just want to give you guys opportunity to get introduced, and definitely if you have some words of encouragement for him and a way that you guys can connect, that you can maybe give him some advice on the things he's trying to do and the same things you're already doing.
Well, my thing is that when it comes to this, man, I'm like this. I'm still healing myself. To me, to be able to interact in these situations where it might be bad or I might be able to help the next one, that right there is just a level of therapy for me, to be honest and truly real, because I had to get over the separation, anxiety, and the depression of all this here, and I couldn't do it sitting in the house by myself. But suddenly I found myself interjected into the middle of a bunch of chaos because of the fact that that's all I was left with. So I had to organize the chaos and figure it out. So now I had to figure out how to put myself in the middle of the chaos and help it. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
I had to figure out. But then I had to also take into consideration that we as a people are dealing with mental illness. And a lot of our people are, but we don't acknowledge it. A lot of our people are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, and we haven't even been to Vietnam. We haven't even been to Afghanistan. Just living in our communities, we're dealing with this here. But I'm going to tell you something that's very important. And I'm going to tell you something that's important, especially when it comes to dealing with these young men. Not only do we have to know how to treat women, but we got to also know when we grow apart and when to separate and when to take our neutral corners respectively. Because that's another conflict. A woman can say, I'm leaving. And all of a sudden, a situation can blow up. But out of respectively, if you love something, you got to be willing to love enough to let it go. And that's, you know what I mean?
That's right.
That's interesting. You know what I mean? But that's something also to go with. You know what I mean? I mean, I hope right. I hope I'm able to help. I hope that I was able to say something that helps.
Well, everything you said is help, because it's confirmation that we all have experienced the same stuff, and but now it's not so much to start pointing fingers. We got to do better, and words of encouragement are words of encouragement. I support you as you support me, as I support Brother Wyatt and everybody else that's going to get this out. We've dedicated, and if you need to come back and want to expound on a broadcast, we've dedicated the whole 52 weeks of this season of 2018 to domestic violence and all forms of violence. So let's not make this just a one-time drive-by. Come through. Let's talk offline. Let's be able to help you and help us to get this out there. But it's important. Every area is attacked, and every area is exposed. But I'm talking about let's come with some results for people instead of just saying, come to my seminar, listen to this, and go about your way. No, right. We have to continue to stay together and continue to work together that we finish what we start, that we see the results in people's lives. That's what I'm really about in this movement, is seeing results in people's lives that even from the abusers. I'm devoted to Jesus, and I believe anybody can be saved. I believe anybody can be transformed, and I know that if we do the right thing and not just push a religion or a piece of paper in front of someone, but show by example of the same way that has been done, to love by compassion and by remembering who you used to be and where you came from. And your abuse may not be that type of abuse, but we've all done some abusive things in our lives. And I know I've repent and continue to keep my focus on staying good in good standing with God. So yes, man, let's do this. Brother Wyatt, anything from you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The other brother, you have my condolences on your loss of your daughter. I know it's still fresh, and regardless how long it's been, I know it's still fresh, and the pain is still there. You'll never get over that, right? And I appreciate. And it's funny how you said that when you love somebody and love them enough to let them go, that was the situation with my daughter and her husband. You know what I mean? She got tired of him doing whatever he was doing, and he didn't love her enough to just walk away because you were doing what you were doing wrong. He loved her to a point where if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. And stuff. That's, and I mean, and that's just it's senseless that I can't get over. That's why I, like the pastor said, with the men also, we got to teach the young men to love a person enough or the girlfriend, wife, whoever, to leave them alone. If you ain't doing right, okay, love that person. Care enough for that, not for just for that person, care enough for their family. You know what I mean? If you don't care enough for them, care enough for their family to walk away, because you're not only hurting them, you're hurting their family. You know what I mean? And that's going to be a hurt that's going to never go away. You know what I mean? So,
ooh, yeah, you know what? You just brought up something my mama used to tell me as a young man, because me and my sister used to fight a lot. And she used to tell me, you know, you walk away for yourself, because you're going to be the one in that jail cell. Right. I remember even when I got in relationships and started going, and she used to tell me, "Boy, you better walk away for you.
Yeah.
Don't think about nobody but yourself." And young men,
exactly.
You know, that's something I've been learning. And I'm in the hood. I'm in Compton. I'm back in my neighborhood, and I'm listening to these young men. But a lot of them aren't confident in themselves. They're confident in groups. That's where gangs come in.
Yeah.
They're confident
right.
in with the coverings, and they're comfortable with the crowds. But most of our young men aren't comfortable and watch this, confident in themselves enough. Because that's where it comes, is that fear of losing. Some men have even admitted the reason why they couldn't leave because they had some. If they would have left, they wouldn't have had nothing to leave with.
Right.
So how am I gonna let my bread and butter walk out the door? Oh my God, we gonna get deep on this thing up in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, brother, like you said, we just can't have a march, and we got to continue to do stuff as far as the community and nation. We got to see progress. We got to see growth in our young men and everything. Just doing a march and just going away out the next. Okay, we don't have a march, so we back to basics now. We got to continue to go places to speak out, to just walk through different neighborhoods. You see something, just talk to them. You know what I mean? And we have
right.
to continue. You have to. You know what I mean? It got to start somewhere, and it can't end at all.
Right.
Well, we dedicated here. We're not waiting for. And I do want to give these out for anybody on the line that doesn't know. We're gonna try to give out everything that's going on in accordance to this. But March 4th through the 10th is No More Week. No More launched in 2014, and it's pushing. They're going nationwide on this. We want to support that. And of course, Domestic Violence Month is October, but we talking about every week, every week we're talking about it once a week, but every day something needs to be done better, because believe me, the statistics are crazy. I mean, two women a day are killed in domestic violence in this country, and that number is lopsided, because most of those. They had so many complaints about it, but most things happen and they never got categorized in that deaths alone. So we need awareness, and your march, my brother, your outreach is my brother, Minister B. The things you guys are out there doing are important, but we need to continue, and we're here to join. So anything you need to report, anything you want to get out there, as I said, become a roving reporter for the Now Network. Put the voice app on your phone. Record some people. They don't even have to give their name, but let's get some real stories, some real talk out there, when people be saying, "No, this is how my lifestyle is." Let's keep it real so people can see really what's coming out of these people, and how familiar they sound to us, but we just had it in a different way. Oh, that's gonna catch up. 5, 4. Yeah, that's gonna catch up soon to somebody. But man, thanks everybody today. I wanna release my brother. I know you have something going on. If you have some closing remarks for us, go take this moment right now. If you have a website, email, anything you would like to get out there that you can draw people in to help your cause, please take this moment.
In closing, I would like to say also, we got to take into consideration that domestic violence does not just happen on behalf of men battering women, because it also takes place with women battering men. It's just not reported as much, because the typical man has somewhat of an ego and he's not going to admit that he's the one in the home being abused. At the same time, I would also like to say that the education with domestic violence, it shouldn't just have to take place within a march or any demonstration. Every man should be able to take a young man under his wing, give him the simple education of what it takes to be a man, how to treat people, how to be decent, and just how to be functional in society. Because of the fact that it's a human right just to be able to be left alone or to be treated decently, because we always desire that.
Yeah.
At the same time, from my perspective of life, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm in a transition in my life, and I'm in my second life, man. I come from a hardcore gang-banging atmosphere and background. I understand the mental illnesses, and we have to understand that, because the typical person you deal with is self-medicating on alcohol and drugs just to fight whatever's going on in their mind. So, I mean, I just say that we ourselves, we have to look at the people, meet them where they're at, And then we got to find their need and meet their need with whatever service it is that we're capable of bringing. And that is how we're capable of being able to assist. You know, in closing, I can be reached. My email is ronsbusiness@yahoo.com. That's ronsbusiness@yahoo.com. And that's my active email that I check every day. And I can be reached there. And
amen.
I mean, you guys contact me. Anything you guys want to do, any networking or anything like that, there, feel free to reach out to me. I'm available. I'm very busy, but I can find the time. That's why I'm busy, because I'm always finding time.
Well, I just want to say this. I'm glad you weren't on the beginning of the broadcast, because you just summated everything. My opening 10 minutes was all about you. You marked it. I'm taking notes here, because you hit every point I hit earlier. You hit it right on the nose, didn't you, Minister Carolyn? And then confirmed it. So thank you so much, man. See, a lot of people are like, well, why wasn't he on time? Because you weren't supposed to be. You were here for confirmation today, and you have just agreed with us totally. That, you see, what I said was, I love it, that it's not about me. It's about me being able to release with myself and share freely. And then here the young man comes and confirms everything, man. God bless you. We will be connected. I'm going to get connected with you through Minister Carolyn and get to know you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, definitely. All right. Thank you. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too,
thank
man.
You,
be blessed.
Okay. All right.
All right, we want to take this opportunity and open up the lines. If anybody has a comment, shout out, anything you would just like to, a story. Someone may have been on here and now has the Lord is opening up and wanting you to release and get rid of something. You don't have to do it live for everybody to hear you. We have a green room to take you over and counsel and love on you. If that person is out there, dial 1 and come on in. If not, anyone else in these last 5 to 10 minutes, have a comment, go ahead and dial 1 and come in. Minister Carolyn, I just want to say thank you for continually being diligent and still knocking and asking people to come on board. And it's growing, and the numbers are consistent, and I'm in it. I'm in it to win it, and I believe we're really going to be effective in some people's lives. We're in Compton today. We'll be talking. See, the last couple of weeks, I've been using the food line to go through and just ask and say, hey, you know, you okay? Is everything all right with you? Oh,
right.
Man, I still can't get to the trafficking part because I dress too fly. Never mind. I don't want to get into the conversation. Anyway, so any closing remarks from you today? Everybody's dialing 1 now. Area code 858, last 4, 2359. You're live on Real Talk with myself and Minister B.
How you doing, Minister? This is Ali.
What's up, Ali? Ali?
San Diego, California, man. I called last week, you know, and I'm listening to you, and I appreciate you doing this. You know, 2 weeks in a row. I don't know if you're going to do it anymore. You probably will, because I know your spirit. But I
We're in week 4. Hey, Brother Ali, we're in week 4, and we've dedicated the whole 52. So, yes, we are dedicated.
Lord. Okay. Okay, well, I'm late then. You know, let me wake up my spirit. What your mama say? You better be right for you.
Come on now.
You know, so listen, I appreciate you guys, man. You know, I think I mentioned last week, you know, my sister, man, was one of the most abusive people to men, you know. None of her boyfriends beat her up, you know. So she used to sock them up pretty bad, man. I mean, really, these men had no mentality to fight women back at all. I mean, she made sure they were shorter than her, too, you know. So the lady was no joke, man. So while I'm listening to this, I just want to say to everybody, if you got to put your hands on somebody, put your hands on yourself first. Go smack your own self in the mouth. That's all I want to say, Pastor.
That's right, man. Much love, bro. You always got some wise wisdom when you come on here, man. And that's so true. You want to hit somebody, hit yourself. Or instead of hit, oh, no, wait. Or if you want to hit a woman, go call her brother. Thanks, man. Minister Charlene, you are live from San Diego, California. Also, too, Real Talk with Pastor E and myself, Minister Carolyn.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor E. Praise the Sister Carolyn, Minister Carolyn. I thank God for your ministries. I thank God for Get Up, Wake Up, Living Your Purpose, and now, and what you're doing for those that have been abused. I mean, sooner or later, people have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of dealing with the hurt and pain of what they've done or what they have experienced for something like that being done to them. And, you know, the Word of God tells us that we overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that's just not a scripture, just to quote, like, quoting the alphabet. But people that are hearing this, you know, I just want to encourage you to call in that number. You can call in that prayer line. You can get deliverance now. Pastor, he has this ministry, and it says, I will do better now. You know, I could look at myself having felt like, you know, oh, dejected, rejected, hurt when I was bullied. I was bullied as a child growing up. And, you know, those emotions, I had to give them to God. When I eventually got sick and tired of being sick and tired of having that, being that emotional state, like the victim, God right. wanted to come in and heal me. He wanted to comfort me and tell me, I love you. Maybe they didn't understand you. Maybe they picked on you. Whatever their intentions was not of God. It was not good. It was wicked. It was evil. But when you, when someone takes the brunt of that person's emotion, that hurts. But God is a healer, and I'm here to just testify about that. God is a healer, and he is continually healing. He's continually delivering, and I have not arrived, but I just want to let you know you guys are helping somebody out there. They may be too shy to call in. They may be too hurt to call in, but don't stop what you're doing, Sister Carolyn, Pastor E. You guys are encouraging me. You know, laziness is something people got to get over. You know, laziness to call, laziness to ask for help, you know, procrastination. It's time.
Yes.
This is the season.
That's right.
This is the time to you know, get over ourselves and say, Lord, I need help now. I want to be delivered now. I want to overcome the brunt of the effects of others, or, you know, introversion, things we take upon ourselves. And we just, you know, people that have alcoholism, wherever they do it, they're trying to drink away those sorrows and those hurts. But this is the time God wants to heal us right at the core, at the root, right where the impact first occurred. And there's healing for both. There's healing for the abuser and for the abused. Just, you know, just reach out. God wants to heal us. He doesn't want us to continue to go on in a damaged state. And I just had to say that, and I just thank God for hearing my cry and for, you know, people that are not just only putting their mouth out to speak out about it, which is a blessing, but there's help. There's help and there's deliverance. There's testimonies victorious. And
yes.
And it, like I say, in the process of it, you know, and God is thorough. He'll take us through these steps. And if he has to backtrack a step, we're not going backwards. We're pressing forward. We may feel like we're going backwards, but God wants to take us back to heal us, to forgive and really wholeheartedly forgive. You know, that wholeheartedly forgive, even when we know we've been wrong, just so wrong as all get out. And God's like, yes, I know that, but let me love you in that area so you can fully receive a healing and wholeness and forgiveness. There's people that didn't get up and get their miracles until they confessed what was wrong with them. Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do? Oh, that I may receive my sight. What do you want me to do? Oh, you know, and he said, take up your bed and walk. He gave them what they couldn't do in their inner spirit. He gave them help to pick them up. And people that saw it, the ones that wanted them to shut up, or don't love and call them to Jesus. They say, oh, Jesus in the area. Jesus, Lord. Because nobody stood up and ministered to them right at the power.
Oh, my God.
Of the crushing. But God wants to, my God, he said he came to heal the broken in heart and bind up the wounds. He came to set the captives free. I'm not here to take over the show, but I just got to tell you, I was captive.
Oh, no, I love your energy. Go ahead.
I was captive on affections and emotions.
Oh, my God.
And I was angry. I was mad, and I was sad, and I was with all of the dejection. And God showed me hurt people, and even an innocent. But God, you know, the opposite of hate is love. And God is love. And so for him to come down as a little baby, and he created Adam and Eve as adults, that says a whole lot. God was vulnerable to us. So, you know, but to be under subjection is mother and dad, you know, earthly mother and dad. So, but God in Christ, the hope of glory. We have hope, y'all, even in 2018. Let's not go through this year, my God, hugging onto our wounds and our bandages. Let God take them off. Let him come in there and pour in oil and wine. Come on now, captives be set free in the name of Jesus. On both sides of the spectrum, is there for all of us. and I thank God for you. Pastor E, I thank God. I pray blessings and favor and, my God, new anointing for this year, Sister Carolyn, Minister Carolyn, new anointing, because it's a burden. And as God delivers others, I pray that whatever y'all need in deliverance, that God will, my God, grant it even so much the more, because he knows, my God, what we deal with. But he, the word tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's intent is that we are conformed to the image of his dear son. Inside conversion, my God, and salvation. So it's for us. We don't have to go through this. He wants to walk in the earth, my God, as kings and priests, because he picked us up. He's changing our name. He's changing us. So, you know, receive the healing. Receive it. Cry it out. Sometimes we have to cry. Sometimes we have to confess. We have to let these emotions go, because the enemy pounds on them and says, yeah, you remember when, and, you know, and try to tell people it could be suicide. Suicide is not the answer. Self-affliction is not the answer. My God, but repentance and change and confession and receiving that, you know, that love of correction, the love of correction. And, you know, because we don't like to say we're wrong when we're wrong. And just receive the love of correction and deliverance and walk in that thing. Walk on in it and just give the devil a black eye and say, you know what, I will be healed in Jesus' name. It's for me. It's for you. Let's go get it in Jesus' name. Let's go get it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, you tap right into it, because this is self-examination weekend. And in self-examination, we have to find where we're really hurting and where we're really lacking and where I need to do better. And forgiveness is the key. And all these things, healing, forgiveness is a part. And growing people, forgiveness is a part. And I love it. So, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you. Love you guys.
All right. Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk with myself and Minister Carolyn.
Good morning. Good morning, family. I tell you, praise the Lord. I'm listening over here. And I said, praise the Lord for Brother Wyatt and also Brother Ronald. Thank you to Brother Wyatt when he said his daughter, her husband, felt that no one, if he couldn't have her, no one could have her. But we have to realize all people, people are not property. They are bodies that belong to God. So I've heard that mentioned in my life too. If no one could have me, if he couldn't have me, no one could have me. So anyone in that situation has to get out. And then I've heard you guys speak that people don't speak out. A lot of people have that fear and that shame of being domestic violence. But the thing is to speak out. Tell someone, because it's happening next, like Pastor, you said, it's happening next door. Domestic violence is happening everywhere. And then also I've heard you guys, Pastor Ethan was saying, the victims of victims. We have to continue to pray for the families to give them healing and strength, because I've had, and also a brother that was a victim of domestic violence, and it's healing, but the only thing that could heal inside is the word of God and Jesus and the blood of Jesus that strengthens me, because it's happening, and I just pray and I thank God for the connections you guys have made this morning by the testimonies and the listeners that's on board that may be able to take what they receive from this morning and break the chains of domestic violence. Amen, family, and I praise God for Minister Curlin for bringing her guests, and Pastor E, I praise God for you, for what you're doing for the Now Network and reaching out all over the world to
Amen.
Stop this epidemic, because we have to stop it now, because someone needs it right now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Love you all, family.
Love you, too. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Amen. I know Minister Carolyn has an event also. She is still on board, so I want to bring her back for any closing remarks before we get ready to close. If anybody's out there and is a victim and wants help, you can reach us at the P2P hotline, 562-413-3710. Again, the P2P hotline, 562-413-3710. We will answer your call. And if you're on this broadcast and now you want to talk, dial 1. We'll bring you into the green room and we'll talk to you privately, or we'll have one of our sisters or brothers talk to you privately. Close your remarks, Minister Carolyn. Our Minister B.
Praise the Lord. I'm just thankful that both Ronald and Mr. Wyatt was on the line at the same time. I'm praying that if possible we could get Ronald down there to Virginia. He and I spoke about it yesterday. That's something we could speak about offline. Again, as Pastor E said, that if anyone needs any help, if you don't, well, you're going to get through the P2P Ministries, but another option would be Sisters Working Against Gang Violence. Our email is sistersworking@gmail.com, and the phone number is 323-830-2161, and someone will definitely pick up. If there's not an answer, the call will be returned within 10 to 15 minutes. So I want to thank everybody that called in, all the guests. Again, Mr. Wyatt, it was awesome having you on, and I'll be talking to you offline too.
Amen, amen. And you guys better join us next week. But we need everybody on this broadcast to invite somebody or just talk about it around people that maybe don't want, you know, make it a break room discussion. Like, man, I know this show, if you're going through something, I don't know who you are, but you can just call this number. We need to get people involved in this thing and do everything we can to share it. And no, this closing song, I know y'all say I didn't went wild on it. I've been wild on this song for a long time. I'm just sharing it now, is that we first ever have to know that you are in war. But you know, when you're in war, you got to go to battle. And if you go into battle, you can't do it on your own. You have to do it by the name of Jesus. God bless you guys. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you tomorrow for Exalting Jesus with Minister Sir Ryan Davis. And yeah, I'm going to mute my mic because I'm about to get up.
family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name, amen.